Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your talk is cold and distant, and I'm still
ridiculously talented Chiat Evenshai, and she was singing a song that had the lyrics of one written by one of my co-hosts, Jay Hatter. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
Just fine, AP.
Excellent. I know it's bloody hot where you are, but I'm glad you're with me. And we also have the lady who is the founder, bee's knees, chief, everything else, of a team of voices. So if you come to allpoetry.com, which is where we are, and you knock on the door of a team of voices, Deb will be the one that says hello. Hello, Deb. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
And I think we have online Stephen. Stephen, how are you?
How are you?
I'm well. So I believe that you have to read and run, which is not unusual in times of late. So I was going to put your poem on the board for you to kick us off.
All right, yeah. This time it's for a completely different reason, though. We had a show in a little less than an hour over.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. No. Well, we're just running early this week. I'll talk about that in a tick, but we're running early. So, nice little gift there too, Stephen, I have to say. I like the orange. It's very nice.
I'll tell you, I had a very difficult time not writing this. And also, I did something that I've never done before, and that is I wrote a 575 haiku chain. So this is all a little different for me, and I call it, I call this an orange with no rind has no rhyme.
That makes sense.
The peel rind of the sun, vitamin C through body, shoe croaker aside, Milky Way of juice, 100 proof in each star, with pulp from each core. Minutes of cockrow, or of tropical grove stand, rays of soul astral. Vessel bottom shown, shake the cobwebs from one's head, fuel injector day. End poem.
Well, there you go. I'm impressed. Certainly I'm impressed from the orange downwards. Hannah, did you want to say something about this orange piece?
Did you say Hatter? You got to give
me
a minute. I play catch up there.
Okay. Oh, no, that's okay. Well, I'm going to go to Deb. Deb, what did you think of the orangey confection in front of us?
Well, I must admit, I think that this is a delightful little gift between the animated photo, his very first haiku chain, which each haiku is really awesome, and a 10. So what a total package poem. I'm trying to decide which one of the haikus I like the most. But okay, in minutes, kukrow or tropical grove stand, rays of soul astra. What is kukrow?
The cockcrow, that's another way of saying morning.
Aha.
There you go.
Okay, it makes sense. I just never heard the term before, but this is very cool, Stephen. Great share.
We liked. Hannah, have you caught us yet?
Yeah, is this a real thing? A haiku chain? Do they write this in this way?
Yeah. It's real.
Yeah. I really thought you would like those.
Well, it sort of beats the crap out of the haiku structure, doesn't it?
Well,
I guess not.
You know.
Other than the Popeyes. Yeah, the cockrow, is that what you were asking? In minutes, cockrow?
Yes.
Or topic, and that's hello? Good morning?
Good morning.
I'm sorry, I play catch up here. I think I'm stunned by a haiku chain. I didn't know anything to think.
Well, when you do a haiku chain, each of the haikus should be able to stand on their own as well as fit together.
Right, yes.
Sort of like each line of the haiku, right?
Yes.
To stand on its own.
Yes. You can grab them together or separately.
Wow. All of a sudden, haiku got complicated.
There you go. Now, Stephen, before you go, because I know you've got to go quickly, because you did a stack haiku. I tried to do a villanelle. Now, of course, the thing about a villanelle, though, is it's got a rhyme. And if it's orange, how the hell do you do that? Because orange doesn't rhyme. Well, not really. Yeah? So here we go. This is the orange un-villanelle. It goes a bit like this. As is this very fine wine called Grange, and while it's very expensive, it really doesn't rhyme with orange. Some might think it's a little strange that wine with a title pensive, as this is a very fine wine called Grange, would think with just a word exchange, if no rhymes become defensive, it really doesn't rhyme with orange. And the fruits quickly rearrange, and the choosing process intensive, there is this very fine wine called Grange. How can a near rhyme by homage be like French cheese, comprehensive? It really doesn't rhyme with orange. Only real rhyme sporange, a botanical term extensive, there is this very fine wine called Grange. It really doesn't rhyme with orange. End poem.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like French cheese pepper. Did you know all this? Is this real, right? There's a wine?
Yeah. Sporange is real. It is a botanical term. Grange is a real wine, and it doesn't really rhyme with orange. It goes close, but it's not right, you know. So that's why it's an unpolynomial, because Grange and orange don't rhyme, you see.
Okay. Yeah, the spelling.
It is eight syllables each line, and it does follow the form, but because Grange and orange don't rhyme, it's an unpolynomial.
Yeah, somebody's accent can pick that up.
It's quirky as all hell. But
grunge,
anyway, that's okay.
Grunge.
And Deb, we're going to have to get in the collaboration before Stephen leaves.
Yeah, but hold on. I'm still blown away by the fact that you invented an un-villanelle. I think you did a really cool job with it. And you pulled out enough words to make it one of those but almost rhymes enough to fool the eye anyway. So aren't you too clever? And those words come out often, but show off.
There we go. I thought, you know, why not? An unvillanelle. Sort of as good as a villanelle, really. It's just villanelle. It's all I was trying to do.
Can I go next?
We're going to do the collaboration, Hatter, and then let Stephen go, because we've held him up for a little bit. But I think Deb wants to do the collab.
Stephen's still with us?
I think so.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, he's got one of his feet out the door. I'll read fast. How about that?
That's it.
You don't have to read fast.
That's it. No, it's all good.
Okay, well, this is called Drama at the Queen's Jubilee at the Castle of Cards. And here we go. In the story of legends delivered by pigeons making the princess cry, Pinocchio had a cat, and he looked up at the ceiling. Hung by a thread inside of his head where the masks dance, the dance showing sins to the queen, but they maybe should not have been so revealing. Then the puppeteer with the ball of hemp twine talked to the flutterby mask as a mother was asked, "Hey, is the baby mine?" The puppet master breaks the jester's back and the cards of hearts note while the joker bends to bow. Dealing too far, the queen of hearts counts cards, mirrors and chandeliers tote, yet no moon or jumping cow. Now Pinocchio lies in slow disguise as the wind would call names marked on keys for the cars, and much pomp helps to set up the joyous mood. With the beehives and beach balls, dragonflies and waterfalls, we all smile, but soon my paws will stomp unless somebody brings me food. End poem. Now, before you guys even look down in the author's notes, I point out there are a million things going on in that photo. AP, line one. Pinocchio had a cat. Hatter, line one. Pinocchio lies in a slow disguise. Now, how the hell do you pull that off? And everything in that photo, the first line you both send me is Pinocchio. I am always blown away by how in tune you are. Just saying. Oh, and this is collaboration number 50.
Well, there you go. I think it's you've done very well to put that together. Steve, what was your sense as down the page?
Did you ask me?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, this is like Deb said, there's so much going on in this photo. I wouldn't know where to go first other than the fact that Pinocchio must feel like a fox in a chicken coop. the idea that the Pinocchio had a cat, although the cat's large enough to probably eat Pinocchio in this photo as well. it's very cool, and I like where's that one? The puppeteer with the ball of hemp twine, talks to the flutterby masks, and asks, "Is the baby mine?" Yeah, it's very, very cool, the way the words are just sewn together. Very well done.
Thank you, Stephen.
So, Dev, how many things did we copy or did we mention in that picture? You know?
Oh, I don't know, but I wrote to this too, and you didn't cover anywhere near as many as I did. But I still haven't fixed the boo-boo on the bottom of my chin from when you both sent the first line with the word Pinocchio starting out what you sent me. I was like, unreal. How is this possible?
Oh, yeah.
It's obvious to me, Hatto, right? Go figure. But it's obvious to me. You go to Pinocchio first. But anyway.
Really, it's obvious to both of you because you both went to poke into Pinocchio first.
It's obvious to both of us, exactly.
If I was a psychologist, I'd be wondering what the meaning was behind two men that chose the guy whose nose grows. Just saying.
Ooh.
I'm not going to go there.
I want to be a boy.
Now, Stephen. You have a show coming up, I believe, like the not too distant future.
Yes, actually, Skype show tonight, and that's in less than 45 minutes, and it's Christmas in July, Classic Cartoons Volume 2. She has four classic Christmas cartoons for you to watch and write what they inspire. One of them is 1948 version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So. Yeah, check it out.
Very cute.
All right.
Very cute. Cute prompts. So I'm assuming that you have to exit stage left in order to do that because we are unusually early, which I will talk about in 2 ticks. And thank you for joining us for the ride.
Thanks, Stephen. Say hi to Kay.
Dookie dookie. So, why are we early today? I hear you say, why are we early? And the reason is because of me, and often is. It is a Sunday here in Australia, a Sunday morning, and this afternoon, well, today, is my little brother's 50th birthday. And so we are all going out there for the afternoon for the barbecue and celebration, and in addition to that, because it's a fair way away, it's about 55 minutes drive, my mum and her two sisters are coming to my place and I'm driving them there. So, because I know where it is and I've been there, unlike them, because he's only shifted, you know, 6 months ago. So, happy 50th birthday to my bro. That's why we're on a
happy
slightly
birthday.
Earlier time. There you go. So yes, I've got the 50th this afternoon, then I've got my two kids tonight for pizza eating at a very, very, very nice pizza restaurant that I found, a brand new one, Deb. And it's still running on the Google reviews at 5 out of 5, which is quite inspirational. Brilliant, brilliant pizza. Just wonderful. Best pizza I've had for 5 years. So
yeah.
I'm taking them there tonight. So that's tonight. All sewn away. There's not much on, really. So I've sort of cleaned up the place so it looks halfway decent. And since I'm having visitors, Deb, I can't sort of let, you know, sloppiness and stuff happen. So I've got all that happening. And
especially when one's your mom.
Well, exactly. Exactly. You've got to look like you've got things together when your mum's coming over, Hatter. Otherwise it's not in good shape. And she of course just recently turned 80, so she's old enough to know better if things aren't right.
Is your brother the baby? Is your brother
the
baby?
No, my mum's the eldest actually of the three. My mum's the eldest of the three.
Your brother. You said he's 50 today. Is he the baby of the children?
Yes, he is. Yes. He's the bub. He's the youngest. So.
So mom was 30 at the time. Awesome.
Yep. Mom was 30. Yep. Yep. So got the kids out of the way early, which is always good. Got a bit of time to herself, Deb. So, it's been good. That's the sort of plan for the day, and meanwhile, we had the prompt of Orange, which was specifically chosen by me, Hatter, because it is very difficult to rhyme. Now, we've just learned in my poem, of course, you can rhyme it with sporange, which is it doesn't get you a long way, does it, really? With sporange and orange. But apart from that, there's nothing. So I sort of thought that sort of put us more into free verse territory, Hatter. And so I'm fascinated to see what you have taken hold of and done with the prompt.
I ran across this a contest. I think it was Chaos who had this theme for to write to, and mine's more visual. So you would have
to pull it up.
Wrong
with that.
And the title is Orange. You glad I didn't say banana just because they'd have a better title. But
okay, cool.
On a visual, if you take the OR, split it off from the ANGEL or the ANGE, add an L at the end. So you got four angels. Okay.
Aha. I got it. Yeah, I'm working with you.
So I sort of cheated, I guess.
That's allowed.
But I'll read it anyway. So say four angels, anytime I say four angels, it's spelling out oranges or orange. It goes like this. The battle of suns and the oceans that steal the lights from the heaven will light the paths for angels to follow. Only the hues left in the darkened skies color the beauty no words will describe. A stairway of tinted steps for angels to lead us into the eternal journey of the afterlife. Four angels will appear at the sides as we ascend with the love of rainbowed sunsets. Yeah. For the child had not killed.
I think that's really cute. I do. I think it is. And,
I know it's a reach. It's a reach.
No. It's cute. It's I always like it when, you know, you can turn around to a prompt and stare at it and then turn it around 240 degrees and have a go at it. Yeah. And I think that's what you did here. You know, I think it's cute. What did you think?
I think it's really cool. I like the fact that you sort of went outside the box and that the four angels has the oranges sort of in there. It was a really clever concept. And Chaos is a tough tough judge, and you got a medal out of her.
He's
so that's saying something.
Yeah.
Awesome work, Hatter.
Not proud of it, but that's all I could get. That's all the only thing I could think of at the time.
Oh, nothing wrong with that, Hatter. I mean, I think you go with what you get, you know. I wrote a couple of pieces yesterday on this, and you just, you know, sometimes the prompt takes you in different places. Sometimes it takes you down the more, you know, the sort of place you expect to go, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, and I kind of like when it doesn't, you know, to be honest. So three verses that are in that sense, I kind of, as I said, I kind of like when the prompt takes you in a path that you weren't expecting.
Maybe I could read my real one.
You can read your real one for sure.
It's just called Orange.
Well, that's allowed.
And to tell you the truth, I was jotting down some ideas, and that's basically what it is. So I excuse the.
Okay.
And it goes like this: nothing rhymes with orange. They say, what about the corn and hay? Can be what you might change into the words that aren't the same. Accents, drawls, or where you come from, or angels. The spelling might be one. Four angels. See what I did there?
Hey, not very nice.
Peter.
I got that. Look up that. No, that's it. You're allowed okay. to do that. You know. It's sort of cheating, but it's sort of not. It follows on from the other.
No, I know.
So I understand do both. Yeah.
Since it was his original idea, it wasn't really cheating. I just wanted to bust on him.
No. I kind of like that. It's kind of fun. Accents, drawls, or where you come from, or angels, the spelling might be. Well, it's very cute. Cute way to end. And only just recently been written, Hatter.
Say that again?
Like, it's only recently been written. You've only wrote it. See, I just posted it, like, yep. just before the show started.
Yeah. I had a couple notes written down on a piece of paper, and, yeah, I went right into the right menu. Yeah.
There you go. I'm impressed. I'm impressed. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good way to get into Orange and get around Orange without being Orange, as you say.
Yeah. I wonder who came up with the words for the colors. And orange would be a strange.
That is a good question.
Come up with
that. That is a good question. It's a bit like the fact that you can't grow a banana or a piece of banana in the ground. Yeah. It's there's no seed for a banana. And it's about the same for an orange.
Yeah.
You know, it's a word. Yeah. So when was the colour orange named? Here we go. The earliest recorded use of orange as a colour in English was in 1502. A description of clothing purchased for Margaret Tudor. Another early recorded use was in 1512 in a will filed with the Public Record Office. You know, 1502. It's not that old, is it, really?
So they were just going around making shit up. Oh, I think I'll make this sound.
Yeah. Somebody went and made it up, Hatter. That's exactly what happened. It was 1502. Somebody made the word up, and away we went.
Yeah. I think I would have liked to have lived in that time, making up words.
I think you would have too.
I'm calling out a cow.
I think you would have too.
Yeah.
Well, the poet that we had in the last Tic Mac Poe actually lived in the 1500s and was, you know, perfectly decent poet, but it's pretty old, a long time ago. Anyway, I am going to reply to your poem with one of mine, and then we might get Deb's up on the board. But this was just a standard sort of, you know, me sort of poem that sort of arrived at her with orange at its heart yesterday. So this is Within Skies. You, a reaction that gathers fast. Just a spark of orange upon the forest cast. Orange belies flame, and flames imply heat. Once centred into grasses, then destruction soon meet. Outwards, as oil yawns, its jaws open left file, moving with speed over hills by the mile. Rattles a gruesome speed under smoke's rail. Energy burns so vile, embers disguise trail. End poem.
I thought we weren't supposed to rhyme.
Well,
he took one of them.
It had orange in it, only half rhymed.
Okay.
I did a rhyme and a non-rhyme. I couldn't help myself.
There you go. Exactly. I was the same, Deb, so I'm yours up next. But I'm just saying, I just went with that. And for some reason, it just got beautiful flow. I don't know why. It just does. It just flows down the page. It just goes beautifully. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It just does. Anyway.
It's got almost a tornado look to it.
Yeah, it's sort of weird, isn't it? Anyway, I wasn't even meaning to write it. I wasn't even meaning to rhyme, but of course, the trouble with me is that I just rhyme stuff anyway, and whether I like it or not. And so it sort of ended up a rhyme poem because, you know, it's what we do. Yeah. You know.
I know, right? I had to change a couple words because I realized I rhymed and didn't even know it. But
you didn't even know it.
It happens, yeah.
Yeah.
We're a poet and we know
it.
But now
I
love
the
stanza.
Yeah.
Outwards as oil yawns, its jaw open left bile, moving with speed over hills by the mile. There's some imagery, especially when you worked bile in there.
So it's just a classic little me sort of poem that sort of appeared, really. Now, Deb, we might get your rhyming poem up on the board, I think, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I'm going to get the one that I did my best to not rhyme first, because the other one is a teaser for another show. So I'm putting this one up.
And this one I just
went hog wild with the color orange.
Perfect.
Okay, and it's called I Spy Tigger and Shades of Orange All Around. And here we go. Garfield and traffic cones, orangutans and clementines, a pocket umbrella, tree frogs, D. Cheese doodles, poppy petals, popsicles and lollipops, crayons and crayons and the leaves on fall trees. Plump peaches, fat pumpkins, the wing on lace butterflies, clownfish and starfish, basketballs and nectarines. In the glow at sunrise and sunset, orange colors are seen, but if a goldfish is orange, is a grapefruit tangerine?
Yeah.
That's a very good question. I've never thought about that before. Is a grapefruit tangerine? Interesting thought. Hannah, did you want to say a few words? You're saying a few already. Did you want to say a few more?
I love the idea. You missed the orange. You forgot the San Francisco Giants, though. They're orange.
They weren't in the
first. You went to, of course.
I try to work in as many of the things as I could. I mean, I could have kept on going, but I wanted to share two poems. So I figured, let me cut it off here.
Somebody
tell me why a goldfish is called a goldfish when they're orange.
Well, probably because goldfish were around before orange was invented, Deb. I've never thought about this before. But if the term orange, was only invented in 1502, it could well be that goldfish were around before then.
Yeah.
That's possible. And maybe the guy had... I guess not colorblind if he could see gold. I don't know. It just seems so strange that it's a goldfish.
There was probably a war fought over that. Gold and orange.
We had the War of the Roses. I mean, if you're going to have the War of the Roses, you might as well have the War of the Gold.
Why not goldfish?
Leads on. And, of course, the War of the Roses was at the end of the 15th century, which comes back to the fact that nobody could describe anything as orange when the War of the Roses were on, because the word hadn't been invented yet.
There you go.
Exactly. Exactly. So, there you go.
Okay, now, out of all the colors, there are a couple that I think just don't fit.
Yes.
It's like teal. Really?
Yes.
What's the green? Chartreuse. Chartreuse is green. No.
There's another.
That's wrong.
Yes.
That's just wrong.
Yellow color on top of it.
No, I'm with you. So, it's a very cute poem, dude. I like the fact that you sort of you lined up all of the orange things from cones through to frogs and everything sort of in between, and you you way through them. It's very sweet.
Thank you. Yeah, I went looking for an angle, and then I saw the little poster full of orange things, and there was a butterfly on it, so I was sold. It was fun.
Yeah, that was good fun. I liked it. It's a slightly sort of at a 90-degree angle to the prompt, which is nice. You know, it's nice when you get different stuff.
I was trying to tap into my quirky side, like the man from Oz.
Yeah, no, I've got some quirky stuff, all right. So
don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain.
I've had some quirky stuff. I can give you that. I've done quirky. And so I was going to do a free verse one, Pat, because that was the whole idea of this. And then Deb, you've okay. got, I think, a free verse one as well. But
that was free verse. It didn't rhyme. I mean, there might have been a little bit of alliteration in the middle, but that was hard.
No, it is hard. No, I'm with you. But if I go a serious topic, I often find that I go down into free verse for whatever reason, but I do. So I was going to grab one that you've heard before, but one that I actually really like, which is my Seamus Heaney poem. It did have orange in it, which was Copperheads, and goes a little bit like this. His father moved the precious gums through the saw.
Which one are you?
His hands as leather.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we'll get there. Gnarled tongue caught around the cigarette. Orange at. Oh, sorry, Hannah. What's up?
I'm sorry. I was questioning which one you were reading, but I figured it out.
Copperheads. Oh, no, I'll go back to the Copperheads. Yeah. Put Copperheads up on the board. This is the...
Okay.
This is the in the style of Seamus Heaney. Yep. So this was the Seamus Heaney competition, and as I said, you've heard this one before, but it's kind of nice, and I like it anyway. So it's called Copperheads, and we'll start off again. His father moved the fresh cut gums through the saw. His hands as leather, gnarled tongue caught around a cigarette. Orange ash glittered on the earth. Skillin carving the widest beam from the scraggy bark, water shearing off into a shallow pool at the end of the rusted corrugated shed. This, his domain, the burrs and knots, the sparks off the gleaming steel wheel, the odd log jagging back, bruising his left hip. He walked with a distinct limp. And he kept a piece of gum, gnarled as thick in the corner, for indiscretions. And though rarely born, its bite was far worse than the copperheads outside. End poem.
Hmm.
I really like that.
I do remember this one, AP, your gold winner here, because I remember that I already thought that it was a pretty cool poem, and then when I got to the author's notes, I went back and read it again because, like, it took on a new meaning when you added the personal note at the end. So the details here, I mean, you can just picture the thoughts of your dad running through his head as, you know, he was maybe looking at your grandfather. So it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
Copperhead,
no,
Copperhead to you are a viper or a rattlesnake, right? Copperhead?
They're less scary, Hatter. They tend to scare, and they tend to, you know, they don't have the venom of a rattlesnake, so they're
yeah,
sort of
okay.
less the same. Yeah. Yeah. But the interesting thing was that my grandfather didn't know anything about cutting wood until he came to Australia. He used to, you know, do odd jobs and fix things in houses and stuff in England, and he taught himself how to cut wood when he came to Australia, and got in very, very good at it with the tools that he had. And it was a real skill because you had to try and cut the biggest beam off the piece of wood that was in front of you. And the better you got at that, the more dollars you got for the people that you were working for. So that's what he became incredibly good at.
Did he mill his own wood? Did he mill?
No, he did it for different businesses and companies, Hatter, and he got out to Australia on the basis that he'd get taught that, a company actually bought him out to do that and to teach him how to do it, and it turned out to be incredibly good at it.
But he was milling wood, right? He was.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that was an art. That wasn't easily done. Wow.
Not at all. No. And this is in the days before all of the, you know, laser-guided stuff and all the clever stuff that they have these days to maximize stuff. It was all done by eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So, but yeah, it's interesting because we've still got the, it came out, he wrote to one of the famous newspapers here, the Weekly Times, about his family, and he actually asked in this article in the Weekly Times to see if anybody would sponsor him out, and a number of companies came back to him, and the one that he chose was the wood milling company in a very small country town called Powelltown in Gippsland. And so we've got the his letter to the newspaper, then the letters back from the businesses, and just the whole story.
Now, those guys back in the day like that usually invented certain machinery to do help with the work, like the big band saws and some of the portable things they have today. But did he invent anything like that? Anything?
He was basically working with only one or two saw wheels, Hatter. So he just was he just was very, very good at utilizing what he had, which wasn't a lot.
Okay.
It was sharp, but it wasn't a lot. And so he just was very skillful with very basic machinery.
Wow.
Except
yeah, that's
of course,
an art.
It's back in those days. It kicked back, which was why he limped, because he kept on getting smacked in the hip. But there you go. So yeah, no, that was in the Seamus Heaney style, in a sort of more open sort of form, I kind of like that. Now, Deb. If the castle walls whispered tales is up on the board.
Yes, and you know, the picture that you guys just wrote to, I couldn't, this is the first time one, I just could not delete it until I got to write to it too. So I wrote to the same one as the collab. And on top of it, in the author's notes, I put the link for a show in September, and that link is, for one, a word bank that I built from this poem, and 30 pictures by this artist for everyone to choose from. That's how much I like
them. 30 pictures?
30.
30
for
pictures?
The,
oh, 30.
30.
Wow.
The number 30, Hatter. Calm down. Not dirty.
Okay.
And the artist is Ciro Marchetti, so I was so impressed. Anyway. Here we go. If the castle walls whisper tales, kitty cats and men in hats with fairy tales that fly, dragonflies and jangling keys, twin chandeliers and a butterfly. The queen, her guards, those playing cards stuffed inside her hair, a jester bows at center stage, juggling a girl and a ring on the air. The puppeteer yanks every string with his fingers commanding everything, dressed in purple and red, satin hats on their heads. People stare at the clown ballerina as she sleeps on the floor, not in a bed. The wooden boy with the nose that grows gawks at the lady in drapes but not clothes. Lady Gray stares at herself in the handheld mirror with the blurred display. Silver candelabras burn lemongrass wax, and the pigeon flies off with males tied in stacks. A head holds a flute, blowing whistles that toot over the man with the high-collared suit. Now, as the rag doll with pigtails sits on floor tiles with the ball, the girl in the orange mask reads books to them all. You like how I worked orange in there?
I did. That's very clever. That's very clever. I like that very much. So, but, you know, lovely flow, Deb. And the interesting thing about the flow is that you sort of change up the line length, like four or five stanzas in, and go from the short line to the long line, and it doesn't sort of you wouldn't know if you were hearing it read, because the flow just keeps on going beautifully. So just a really interesting encapsulation of what is a sort of fascinating photo, really. So I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
What about you, Hedda?
Yeah, there was so much in that picture happening. I didn't feel, after I had written my lines, didn't feel I even got close to what was going on. Although some of it was very, you really have to look at it in your different colored glasses to see what you thought the characters were doing. Yeah. A lot of things going on. I remember having half my lines done and I hadn't left the corner yet. One corner.
Right. Well, that's my point. Look how many things are. That's part of what inspired me. I'm like, I was so blown away that not only were you in tune, but the very first word of your very first lines that both of you sent me were the same. I was like, they both zoomed in on Pinocchio. Look at all the stuff going on. So I just started pulling everything I could into the poem and threw it on a page and then made it a rhyme. No matter what I throw at you, a thing with a half a dozen items or a thing with 66 items, you still tap in. Still tap in. And this proves that there was a lot. Yeah. And I didn't even cover everything in there.
No, there was a lot going on. But I like the fact, I like the pictures where there's a lot going on, I have to say. I think that...
Oh, well, you're going to love the show in September, because the choices are amazing, and there are several with this kind of chaos going on in them to choose from as well.
Yes.
So you should be able to have a lot of fun with those.
Hey, do both of you still have the picture in front of you? Both still have
yes.
the picture in front of you?
I do.
See what Pinocchio is, and the left is the kitten, and then the lady holding the curtain or a towel. See the thing behind it? Besides the size of a love seat, if it was longer, what would you call that?
Good question.
Is that a davenport, a divan, what are the other words? Besides sofa and couch, there's divan, davenport. Say that again?
I'd call it a love seat, but that's just me.
Well, yeah, it is the size, but if it was longer, the size of a couch, what would it be in that style?
A couch, a sofa and lounge.
No, they're called divans or davenports. They're not sofas.
Yeah, but isn't that a specific type of couch?
Yeah, remember it's like the one Mae West would lay on, where one side, there's a big one side corner where you would, somebody would lay or have their feet up on the, and then the other side is not so, I'm missing one. Besides the ones I've mentioned, there's another term that I'm missing. It's like the colonial couch. It's a colonial couch or even before that. Okay, that's all I want to know, if you guys knew what those terms.
No.
I didn't know there was a difference. Yeah.
We are rattling through poems, but we do need a topic. Have you come prepared with a topic for next week?
When I called in, I go, I got to sit here and get a topic for next week, and give me a couple of minutes.
Okay, we can do that. So Jeff, we should have gone through
Chesterfield.
All of the poems.
Chesterfield.
Sorry?
There's a good one.
Chesterfield. Now that's a good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I can see Chesterfield there. We've sort of gone through all the poems that sort of make sense that go together. Really, I've got another free verse rhyme, but it doesn't sort of fit with the sort of playful theme that we've had all the way through. which has been kind of fun, really, because the poems have been sort of been light and frothy and danced down the page, and I kind of like that, holistically, I have to say. I think we're going to have a shorter show, but I don't think that's a problem, really, because I think all the poems are fitted together.
I've got a subject. I've got a prompt. Cats and dogs.
Here we go.
Cats and dogs. Dogs and cats.
Cats and dogs.
And,
I might use that.
And I jotted down some things about the thing for our think tank.
Yes.
I think we should get into the business of voting machines. What do you think?
Oh, God.
Please,
really?
No.
Well, I was just saying.
Wow.
Seems to be a market for some. Here's a better one. We could advertise for look-alike party devils. You know, to attend those get-togethers you don't want to go to. Send us your picture. We'll find your doppelganger.
So who is your doppelganger, Hatter? Who would you be the double for?
Well, besides Tom Petty, I've been told I look a lot like Chuck Norris.
Tom Petty? Yeah, I can see Tom Petty. Yeah, definitely.
I'll give you Tom Petty, but I don't see Chuck Norris.
Yeah. When I have a light beard and I'm in denim and my hair is longer. But the other way, when I was in school, I was Jan Michael Vincent. Everybody thought I was Jan Michael Vincent.
Jan Michael Vincent? Really?
Yeah, maybe that one too.
I can definitely see Tom Petty, big tick. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you remember Paul, Mr. Wonderful, Orndorff, the wrestler?
Yeah.
Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. When I was working out, a lot of the younger kids said I look like Paul Orndorff.
Really?
Yeah, who was in the 20 Trading Places
Bill Murray.
Cop. No, that's not the 24 Hours or he went opposite Eddie Murphy, I think. What's his name? Sort of a gruffy guy. I can't think of it.
Well, it's interesting, Hatter, because I think of you and Tom Petty in the same sense. But I don't think you can tell me, Deb, but I don't think I have a doppelganger. I don't think I look like anybody terribly famous, but I could be wrong.
I can't think of a doppelganger, no.
I can't think of anybody.
Well, wait a minute. I have seen a picture of one of your sons standing next to an elephant, I believe, in Africa or something. So maybe a mini-me kind of thing going on, but I don't know about it.
Well, this is true. This is true. My oldest son, who is nothing like me, looks exactly the same as me and talks exactly the same as me. So there is no doubt that he sort of, you know, has my sort of genes with him because he is exactly the same. Like, you know, without...
There you go.
You know, you could have him on the radio and he would talk exactly the same.
But can he read a poem?
How about Glenn Beck? I haven't seen very many pictures of you, AP. Tell you the truth.
Well, I don't put too many out there, Adam. I'm quite careful about that just because of my corporate career stuff that I have.
Absolutely.
I'm helping run all these businesses that are big and semi-important and have a whole heap of people, so I have to be a little bit careful. So.
Sure. Absolutely.
Well, I have a couple, and that might feel important. And Hatter, how about Nick Nolte?
That's it. Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go. There you go.
Okay,
yep. Yep.
It's looking to me like a one-hour show, and we have cats and dogs for next week, The think tank topic sucks, so we're going to skip it, and I appreciate that. So how about if you read us out of here, AP, so you can get trucking to your potty?
Sounds good to me. Did you want me to read the last one or just leave it out? Because it is sort of slightly dark to finish on, Deb. So,
If I had the choice, to be honest, my choice would be to get you to read the poem from Tic Mac Poe, because God bless her heart, Lady A butchered it, and it's a magnificent poem that deserves to be read well. Just saying.
And now, wait a minute. Did Deborah say her double was?
Which one was it, Deb? Which one was it? Which one was it? Was it my the first one that she tried to read?
I'm trying to find my list of saves so that I can remember the title, because it's not coming to me here. Let's see here.
I see if it's up on the board.
Hey, Deb.
I'll put it up on the board. See if.
Okay. Hey, Hatter.
Who's your double?
I don't know. Neither of my daughters, I mean, you can tell both my daughters are my daughters, but neither one of them are mini-me's, so that's a tough one.
Nobody's ever said that when you're trying to be like, hey, you look like them.
No, that I can think of.
Okay.
Now, I put number, was it number five, Deb, that one? Or did you want, the other one, of course, was the wonderful poem that from Edmund of Ice and Fire, and that stanza out of that, so.
That one was, I'm enamored by that one, for sure, but yes. The one on the, I think I've read that at least 10 or 12 times since your show. I'm totally enamored by that. But yeah, you the one on the board is perfect.
Okay, well let's read that one on the board. This was off the Tic Mac Poe show, and it sort of sides up to orange quite nicely actually. So it goes like this. Of wood and of parchment discards curl orange fingers to jagged shards. An oily lacquer outside covers, inside fibres burst to other. A hymn of pain winds by score, wood is heated no more raw. Surfaced etched ridges and valleys, fire chisels charcoal to grooves tally. Brains defiled to the last thread, crackling pieces to ashes spread. Remains coals blackened in pile, cold refrain within chorus resile.
Yeah, much better that time. And I think that there was some darkness in this one, too, that was just enough that I was anxious to see who guessed what, especially with the crackling pieces to ashes spread. It was kind of creepy there.
It follows... It follows the Poe rhythm and the Poe syllable count. And so I thought I might have got a bite on Poe with that one, Deb.
Yeah, no, I really, really expected that to be a stomping, something that stomped them.
Yes. Yes. But Lady A sort of jumped at that one and down the line, so... It was just one of those times where I went, oh, damn, okay, fair enough, move on. But what's the point of writing?
Yeah,
definitely
I
orange.
That's great. I think that you're getting good at hiding yourself, and this one is a really good example of how deeply you were hiding yourself in it. So I was wondering what Hatter thought, actually.
I'm going to try that. Try hiding.
Try to hide yourself?
Something.
Yeah.
I'd like to try that one even.
It's a really, really interesting thing to do, Hatter, to try and to try and do something that others would say that's not yours. As a technical thing to do, yeah, it's really interesting because it forces a couple of things. One, it forces you to understand what people regard as important to your writing and essential to your writing. And secondly, it sort of says, well, if that's the case, can I do something else? And that's why I like the idea of Tic Mac Poe, because it forces me to work out, you know, not just what I do, but then something else to do instead.
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
Like I said, I think this is a perfect example of how well you have become at masking yourself to where it's so less obvious that I have to read it more than once. And I mean, I know we call me Ask the Expert, but I'm really not an expert. But I personally think that you're getting much, much better at hiding yourself. And I think, to her dismay, Lady A would have to also agree that you're getting much better at hiding yourself, just saying.
Yeah. And I think what I've discovered is, you know, I've got a base rhythm and syllable count, and now that I know that, that means that I can write in something different, and that's been a, you know, discovery of mine over the last, you know, probably weeks. Yeah, that I have a preference for, and so there you go. So,
absolutely.
I think we're back with Cats and Dogs next week, Deb. And I was going to play us out with Brass in Pocket, which is not orange, but it's close enough too. And we'll go from there.
It's a goldfish.
It is. Well, orange to goldfish, brass to orange. You know, it's sort of somewhat similar. So my thanks to Deb for all her work with the show and the group and with our collab. My thanks to Hatter, my co-host. Thanks to Stephen for calling in early. And thanks to everybody for listening. And we'll catch you in a week's time at the more normal time.
Absolutely. Fun show, guys. Love and respect.
Okie doke. Thanks again, Deb. Thank you, Hatter. And we'll be seeing you in a week's time.
All right.
Okie doke. Here we go. Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders. Brass in Pocket.
Got that in pocket. Got that all. I'm gonna use it. Intention. Been diving deeper, leaning. No visa, just seems so pleasing. So make you nothing. Gonna use my arms, gonna use my legs, gonna use my style, gonna use my sausage, gonna use my fingers, gonna use my imagination.
back with Cats and Dogs next week. And until then, have a great week. And we will see you back Saturday night. Have fun, everybody. Bye.
Night, guys.
See you, guys. All right.